Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
And a very good Friday morning to you. The Midday Show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We are here, of course, till about 12:10 or so, and we'll take you out to the NCAA tournament. Day two, Iowa and Cincinnati to kick it off. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. And, of course, we're live and in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at my favorite store. You know where it is. ShopRite.
Yo!
So, bro, I'm scouting yesterday, you know, the Knicks draft possibilities, okay? And yeah, as you know, I know they're not going to get the number one pick in the draft. So I was scouting, and obviously Zion didn't play yesterday, so I'm scouting.
It's obvious who you were scouting. Right. Go ahead.
I was scouting who I think the Knicks will wind up getting. And I really couldn't get a good feel of the guy because this Hashimura guy was playing Fairleigh Dickinson. So you can't, you know, let's be honest, FDU, and all great, and all due respect to Coach Herenda, and they had a terrific year and all of that.
They're the best.
They're really just not in the league of Gonzaga. So knowing that the Knicks will have the worst record in the league and get the fifth pick in the draft, I was really watching Hashimura closely. I can't really make a fair assessment because of who they were playing.
Nah, you're the best, because every Knicks fan is drooling over you-know-who, John Morant. And you're saying, no, I'm taking a more realistic look at this.
Right, exactly. You're not going to get that pick. Come on.
You know, it's so funny. It's coincidental as well. At about 7 o'clock, I'm sitting down, and before I start watching all the games, I go to a mock draft, and I said, who are the Nets taking at 16
right now? Right. You told me this.
And the guy that came up was Rue Acha, however you pronounce
Hashimura,
his name. Hashimura.
Right.
So I was scouting him, too, for 16,
right,
not for 5.
I was scouting him for 5.
No, I was very impressed by him.
Because John Rothstein said that he'll probably, you know, I know John's not, and he'll be with us later on, of course, Mr. College Basketball. He will be on with us.
Right.
And, you know, I know he doesn't really pay attention once these guys leave college that much. But nevertheless, he did mention Hashimura as maybe the fifth pick in the draft. So, you know, I just figured, maybe this is our guy.
So you didn't fantasize at all about John Morant?
No.
As he was lighting up against Marquette?
I watched him. I thought he was great. Tremendous game by him. Triple-double.
He was
phenomenal. I mean, the guy was setting people up left and right.
It was exciting because it's not as if John Morant's come out of nowhere. I mean,
we've heard about him.
Yeah, and reading mock drafts for the last 3 months, he's always been projected in the top 4, top 3, sometimes even going number 2.
Right.
I was excited about personally is I have not watched Murray State throughout the regular season.
Course.
I don't think really many others have. John Rothstein has. A lot of us haven't. So I was excited not only to see him but to see the game. I thought this had a chance to be a very entertaining game. And while it was entertaining, it was not entertaining because it was close. I mean, Marquette couldn't have shot.
Oh, God.
And Murray State blew him out. And what was fascinating about this game, we had mentioned a few days earlier that it was only a spread of 5.5, which is low for a 5-12 game. When that game tipped off, Joe, it was nearly a pick 'em.
Oh, really?
How about that?
It went that low. That's a 5.5-point swing.
The line was
moving,
my friend.
Wow.
I don't know if it actually got to a pick 'em, but I think it got to like a point.
Right.
Maybe a point and a half. And Murray State left no doubt, and John Morant left no doubt. And forget the numbers, because the numbers do jump out at you. 17 points, 16 assists.
16 assists in a college game.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
First triple-double in a tournament game since Draymond Green.
Well, did it twice, by the way. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see some of the names that were on there. I mean, Magic Johnson's on there. I figured he would probably be on there. Who did it four? Somebody did it four times. Magic did it twice. Somebody did it four.
You know what's funny? Watching Draymond in college.
I got to look again who that was.
He was always a good player.
Right, right, right.
Now, I didn't know what he was going to be at the next level because a lot of times I think we both admit, I don't know what this guy's going to be at the next level. We try to guess. We try to figure it out. It's impossible to know sometimes. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not.
Right, right.
And Draymond Green was obviously a second round pick. So he wasn't projected as anything more than a bit player. And obviously he's put together a really good NBA career. But more than the numbers, Ja Morant was incredible to watch. The vision that he has.
Oscar did it four times.
Oscar,
that's the guy.
That's not bad company.
No, no.
Oscar.
I was surprised Kareem didn't do it at least once, or Bill Walton at least once. A little different when you're playing center, I guess.
Yeah.
But still.
It's still an incredible accomplishment.
Shaq did it once.
I mean, that's some pretty good company that he's in.
Yeah, very good.
But more than the numbers, I thought just watching him, he ran an offense so incredibly well. He was smooth. That was the word that jumped out at me. He was smooth and obviously electric. And I think when we get to number one overall in the draft, whether it's the Knicks, I know you don't think it is,
no,
or it's Cleveland, or it's Phoenix.
Right.
While
right.
I may not be as sold on Zion Williamson as everybody else, when I'm not sold on him, that doesn't mean I wouldn't take him number one or think he's going to be a really good player. I think the expectation level for him has been placed through the roof. I mean, I've heard comparisons to he's going to be an all-time player.
Right, right, right. LeBron, we heard that.
And the comparison I always like to give people is, if I said to you his career would be Blake Griffin, your response would be what? And I think you said to me, well, that would be disappointing.
Of course.
Blake Griffin's an all-star every year. And that just shows you that the level of hype that Zion is getting
major
is going to be very difficult to ever match.
Right, right.
I also feel safer with a guy like Ja Morant. Doesn't mean I would take him, because I think if you get the number one overall pick, you want to go for the gusto.
I'm sure Williamson will be number one.
No, I think he'd be number one with anybody.
Right.
I'm just
it doesn't
saying,
matter who it is.
I feel safer with a talent like Ja Morant. Doesn't mean I do it, because I still think when you get the number one overall pick, you go for the jugular. You go for the highest ceiling and the highest potential. And I do think Zion has that, and I think what makes him so tough to figure out is that he's unusual. And I think a lot of people look at that as a positive. We've never seen anything like this, which is a description of him. That also is scary. When you've never seen anything before, well, you don't know what that translates to at the next level. So I would say Zion Williamson goes number one overall and should go number one overall, but I will say I feel safe watching Ja Morant.
Oh, my God. I mean, he was
safe. He'll be a very good NBA player.
He was phenomenal yesterday. I mean, you know, what else can you say? I mean, you know, he was setting guy. Now, they were making the shots, too. I mean, he was making every pass, left-handed, right-handed. You know, hit that big shot right before halftime to put him up by seven. I mean, he did everything. What else can you say?
Yeah, his.
He did everything.
The rhythm, the vision, the ease in which he found open shooters, that probably impressed me the most. But it was a great effort by him and his teammates at Murray State that left no doubt in what turned out to be a very disappointing day for the Big East. Villanova advances.
They're the only one.
And
Seton, they had a struggle with St. Mary's.
I mean,
they give them credit. They found a way. They won the game.
That's all that matters.
That's it. Look, survive in advance.
Florida
that's
State
it.
Struggled. Auburn struggled. Yep. It doesn't matter. Yep. Just win.
Maryland struggled. A
but
lot
they
of
advanced.
Teams.
They,
that, right.
That's
they won.
All that matters.
Right.
Seton Hall, on the other hand, gave you a tease.
Yep.
Because
they did.
That big run that Wofford went on, and boy, watching Wofford play, I mean, it's tough not to be impressed. All right, McGee's hitting shots from all over the place, and they lived up to their hype as a three-point shooting team. I mean, they shoot 42% overall for the year. I think they hit right around 50%, right around that number yesterday. But Seton Hall falls behind by as many as 16, mainly because they're turning the ball over, they can't hit a shot, and Miles Powell was a no-show. Just didn't do anything. Very, very sloppy.
Until the second half.
And then, Miles Powell became D'Angelo Russell.
He did.
They had a 12-0 run, Joe, where it was all
they actually
Miles
took
Powell.
The lead. They actually took the lead at one point in the game. And then, of course, they cut it to one again with about 5 minutes to go in the game.
Yes.
They cut it to one.
And then
they just took off.
The monsoon.
Yep.
If you didn't watch this game last night, if you went to bed early, and I couldn't blame anybody that did.
It was
a late night. You probably look at it and say, boy, Seton Hall
got blown
out.
Nah, not the case.
Not the case.
Not at all.
And that was frustrating. It was a leave-no-doubt effort at the end, and how can you not be impressed by Wofford?
Yeah, well, we'll see what they do against Kentucky. But, I mean, still, you're right. How could you not be impressed?
But what?
Same thing with Murray State and Florida State. That's a tremendous game.
Oh, yeah, no question.
On Saturday.
What was frustrating is early in this game, and I think the number was actually zero, the amount of time Seton Hall got to the free throw line on the first half.
Yep.
Zero.
Yep. Yep.
Second half, they did a much better job of getting to the basket, but I thought when Wofford started hitting, and they were hitting their threes all night, but when they started hitting more of their threes late in this game, I thought they were taking a lot of bad shots. I think Miles Powell, there was 1-3 Miles Powell attempt, and I think they were down 5 at this point, and it was a force. And it felt like they were getting desperate. And it felt like they were just chucking up threes, saying, all right, we got to match Wofford. You're not going to be able to match Wofford. They shot 42% for the year from three.
Yep, yep.
So it was a very frustrating night. The one positive is that about 5 minutes later, I got to watch Syracuse go home.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
You were happy about that?
Yeah.
Ernie wasn't happy.
Too bad.
A lot of Syracuse people here that are just not happy.
Exactly.
But
no, exactly.
You know, they lost the kid Howard for whatever happened. Well, failed the drug test, whatever happened to him, I don't know.
But, yeah, it was their decision, obviously.
Yeah, no, it was their decision.
But you know what? You got to overcome it.
Yep.
And Kentucky, who will now take on Wofford, will have to overcome P.J. Washington, who I don't think is going to play again. And I could be mistaken about this because I watched a million games yesterday, and maybe John will remember Rothstein. P.J. Washington was the kid with the brace on who was skating in on that weird thing. Did you see that, the scooter?
I did not see the scooter,
It was his scooter.
He skated, what, to the game, you mean?
Yeah, so he put his knee down on the scooter so that he wouldn't put weight on it. It was for his own good.
Right.
And so he's, like, rolling into the arena that way. And I'm looking at him saying, this kid, I know.
I need a scooter.
This kid's not playing next game. He's not playing that game.
Yeah, right.
And at halftime, I looked something up that turned out to not matter. I was curious. In the history of Seton Hall, have they ever faced a team in the tournament who they faced during the regular season? Had that ever happened? And I looked it up. It took 5 minutes, and the answer was no. So I was intrigued by that because obviously—
Interesting. They've never played a team in the regular season that they would wind up playing in a tournament.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It is a little strange.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
A little surprising.
So I looked that up, but guess what? I could throw it out.
It's not going to matter anyway.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's not happening. They got knocked out.
They're not facing anybody anymore this year.
No.
Done.
The only thing they're facing is the question of will Miles Powell come back? And at least yesterday he said he hinted that he would come back, which not only is great for the program, but I think it's good for his career.
He should.
And his education, obviously.
Well, he should come back. Just like Pons should come back for St. John's. I don't know if he's ready for the NBA. You know, they should come back.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, if you've got an agent telling you off the record.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You're going to get drafted late first round, and I'm not saying that's where he would go. It's tough to say no to that because you are risking, what if you get hurt? What if there's a big injury?
No, I understand.
But Powell had an outstanding season this year.
Oh, it was great.
And certainly would give you hope if you're a Seton Hall fan that they could potentially get to a fifth straight tournament a year from now. But it was a disappointing inning, but a lot of kudos to Wofford, man. They were very impressive.
Very good. And it wasn't a great day, as you mentioned, for all the local teams. And I guess the only one left now is Iona, who you don't think they're beating North Carolina tonight.
They're only there because of the schedule.
Right.
Because they played
Right. And they play late, so they'll hang around a while.
Yeah.
They don't play till like almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they're getting to the final 35. Good for them. Congratulations.
You know what bothered me, too? Seriously, this bothered me a little bit. Did you see Izzo go after this kid?
Yes.
I mean, come on. The kid's a friend. I mean, it's one thing if you're talking about an NBA. You want to get in the face of an NBA player like that, whatever. Like, even the other night when we saw Coach Horrenda kind of get into Jenkins' face a little bit, he wasn't like the look on his face, like he wanted to punch the kid out. What are you doing?
I'm
surprised.
The kid's
a freshman.
I'm surprised that you're actually taking the side of Izzo went too far.
I didn't think
you'd think that.
I don't like that. He's not an NBA player. He's a freshman kid. He's a freshman. What did the kid do that was so bad? You know, what did he say?
There's
no room for my bads anymore.
Yeah, I think he said it because I was listening to what he said post-game. And this did get a lot of attention, which I'm sort of surprised about, but maybe I shouldn't be because in this day and age, I think we are more sensitive to things like this. He basically said and implied that it was an effort thing.
Yeah. No, I understand.
No time for my bad. It's not my bad. I missed a shot.
Right.
It's my bad. Hey, you didn't run and get back on defense. But you know what jumped out
at me? But when one of your players, because Cassius Winston had to
get, that's what jumped out at me.
What are you doing?
Well, I thought
that's
it was
a little. I mean, I understand Izzo's an icon, but let's calm down.
I thought it was interesting how Winston, and there was another player too, actually got in the way twice of Izzo.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was to calm Izzo down or to say, let me deliver the message.
Right.
Which
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a good look for the coach. I'll tell you that. I didn't think it was a good look.
But what's the line? I mean, he's a coach.
Yeah.
I get these kids aren't paid and everyone wants to bring it back to that. But coaches have to be tough.
They have to be tough. But
he didn't hit him.
Yeah, he didn't hit him. But, you know, I mean, he had a look of rage on his face.
It was tough love.
Yeah, well, they won the game. You know, give them credit. They made a million free throws, Michigan State.
Yeah, if he was in middle school, even high school, I'd say, it's too far. You know, you're in college. You're trying to get to the next level. Right? A lot of these kids want to be NBA players.
I understand.
And what I think is good about it, there's a lot of NBA players.
He didn't
players.
Do Bobby Knight. He didn't, you know, he didn't choke the kid.
No, exactly.
He didn't throw a chair at him.
No, and I would never condone that.
No.
But right now, one of the problems in the NBA is most NBA players do not want to be coached.
No. Well.
Part of the reason why D'Angelo Russell has blossomed is because he's getting his ass coached.
Yeah.
Now, he's
a
pro.
He definitely is.
I understand he's a pro. He makes a lot of money. I get that. No one has to bring that up. We know that. But if you're not coached in college rough,
yeah.
Are you then going to go to the NBA and get Coach Ross?
It just looked like Izzo was a little over the top there. The way he was like so like, you know, ticked off at the kid. I mean, you know, I understand. But
I think words matter. I mean, if he's saying certain things to him, I could maybe be on your side. But if he's saying, look, this is the NCAA tournament.
No, I guess so.
You have to get back on defense, and I have no problem with it.
I guess so.
I hear some of what Tom Izzo said after the game.
I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one and done time, you know?
What else?
If it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So that's what it was.
That's why when I hear that, assuming he's not lying.
Yeah, well, who knows? We don't know.
I'm assuming that his anger was based on effort, not based on performance. Look, I'd have a big problem if a kid is having a terrible shooting night and you start screaming at him.
Yeah.
That's probably not the right approach.
No,
obviously.
Right.
But I think if you see a lack of effort, I don't know. I just don't have an issue with it. I know their college kids are not getting paid. That's the default response. Well, they're not getting paid. They're not pros.
Right.
But I ask you this, seriously, if you have a problem with NBA players not wanting to be coached, how do you expect them to not be coached hard in college?
I understand.
And then get to the NBA and get ready?
I understand. I just to me, it was a bad look. You know, you're Tom Izzo, you're one of the great coaches. You know, your place in history is secure. I get it, you know, to some degree. But I think you got to temper it a little bit. You know, it's like I said, it's an NBA guy, I understand. You know, if it was one of your, even if it was Winston, because I understand, okay, he's showing that he's getting on his best player. I just thought in this case, I don't know.
It bothered
me a little bit.
I thought Winston came across great.
Oh, yeah, he
looked like a leader right there.
He definitely did.
It looked like he was saying, let me take care of this.
Yeah, definitely did.
I think the wildest ending of yesterday was in the 5-12 matchup between Auburn and New Mexico State, which never felt like it was going to be much of a game because Auburn led by as many as 13 halfway through the second half. They're the 5 in the 5-12 game, and New Mexico State actually had a chance to tie the game and or take the lead. A.J. Harris drives to the basket and appears to have a completely open look for a game-tying layup. And instead, he kicks it out to his open teammate, Terrell Brown, who takes a three, misses it, but is fouled. So now Terrell Brown's going to the line. If he hits all three, they go up by one. If he only hits two of them, they tie the game.
Right.
Misses the first, makes the second, misses the third. Mm. But wait, there's more. Ball's knocked out of bounds after a review. New Mexico State keeps it. And on the inbound pass, this Trevelyan Queen is wide open for a game-winning three, and he airballs it. So New Mexico State had first opportunity to tie, second opportunity to take the lead, third opportunity to win the game at the buzzer. They failed on all three, and somehow Auburn survives. That was a bizarre end to that game.
Yeah, they did survive. I wasn't watching that game at all, but that is a crazy way to end the game. Auburn was very fortunate to win that game.
No doubt.
And I got them winning a couple games, though.
No, I had the same scare with a couple of teams I have.
Yeah.
Florida.
How about Maryland?
Oh, yeah.
With Belmont yesterday.
Belmont's a pretty good
team.
That's one thing we've learned.
Yeah.
Florida
no
State
doubt.
Got a scare from Vermont.
They did.
I mean, Vermont
made a ton of threes in that game.
Yeah, and Michigan State got scared a little bit.
Yeah, we mentioned that, with Bradley.
And then there were some games that were not scares, like the Kentucky game or the Gonzaga game or the Michigan game.
Yes.
Just your old-fashioned
butt-whipping.
Yes, this team is better than the other team.
I felt so bad for FDU. They just had no chance. I mean, I'm watching that game the first 10 minutes, even less than that. There was just no way.
They couldn't
get a shot off.
Yeah, they couldn't hit a field goal, I think, for the first 5 or 6 minutes.
They couldn't get a shot, bro. I mean, the only shots they were getting were like bombs from, you know, way out. They were trying to go to the basket, and these guys were stuffing them every time.
It did look like men versus boys.
Oh, my God.
And sometimes you're going to get that in these 116, 215 matchups.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.